10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
He don't spin records. Here we go. It's Walter Sterling. Every damn night. He's not uptight. He's always right. Radio 1210. Sterling calls with music. Talks with you. The latest, the greatest, and time and temperature too. So here comes Sterling. And here we go. On WPHT Radio.
It is Peter Thiel. I'm on your radio instead of Walter M. Sterling and Sterling every damn night. I am your Sunday night fill-in, apparently. I was here last week, here this week, all sorts of great stuff coming up. All some of your favorites. I look forward to speaking with Dave Scott, the Canadian UFO expert. He's the ancient alien, guy who understands all about that. He'll be joining us later on. Boom Boom's going to be here with a Hollywood Minute and so much more on the way exclusively right here on Sterling every damn night. So, I've thought about things. We've all had low moments in our lives, haven't we? I certainly have. But my life has never gotten this low. And this happened in Texas. The feller's name is Wesley Worrell. Wesley. And was just sort of roaming around in public wearing just a diaper. And saying to random young children, little girls, saying, "Goo goo gaga, will you change my diaper for me?" Okay. That's a sign, by the way, for those of you at home. You may think to yourself, you know what? Things aren't going that well. I'm not doing great. I'm not living my best life. And then you read about this feller. And Wesley got arrested. He's going to go through. And by the way, he apparently has a thing for young girls and has been arrested before. This is not necessarily his first deal, but obviously has some sort of a problem. Now, I have never been tempted, at least since the age of three, to put on the old diaper. I usually think that if you're an adult and you're needing to do the diaper thing, you're either in line to go get tickets to a concert, or you're maybe a person of many days. Maybe your days are short and you don't have a lot of control down there, so you got to wear a diaper. And no shame on that game. We're all going to be there someday. But yeah, being your normal adult male, wearing the diapers, yeah, that's not all that good. So Wesley Worrell, you know, screaming out, "Goo goo gaga, goo goo gaga, I need a diaper change." How old is Mr. Wesley? He's 45. And he's been banned, by the way, from local parks. And apparently has, shall we say, how can I say this on a family show late at night? Late at night. Apparently this feller has a limited amount of ability to master his own domain. Wesley, by the way, had a pacifier dangling around his neck. Not good. Apparently he's driving a pickup. And just once he saw young girls near an elementary school in Tyler, Texas. He just pulled over and jumped out of the truck in his diaper with a pacifier, screaming out, goo goo gaga, goo goo gaga. Change my diaper. Yeah. Yeah. That's not good. And if you're a parent of young girls, that's the that's not what you want to your young girl to be associated with or to be influenced by. And while this show is not necessarily a serious show, it's kind of a fun show. It talks about silly things. It seems to me that Wesley Worrell, and again, allegedly jumped out of his truck and yelled out, goo goo gaga, goo goo gaga, while wearing a diaper and having a pacifier hanging around his neck. All right. Want to know if it was just your normal standard child pacifier, or was he able to get a big one, an adult size? Adult size pacifier. I don't know. It was not explained that well in the news story. And I'm tending to think that this feller is never going to learn his lesson. You know, when people are wired to whom they're attracted to. You know, some people like, you know, some women want some tall, dark and handsome guy. Men are, you know, like blondes, brunettes, redheads. It's sometimes they like dimples, sometimes they don't. And I'm just going to say up front, I think that, you know, a guy like this, he ain't going to change. It's not like you scared him straight. He's going to, when he's done with this little issue, he's going to figure out some new way, and you know, maybe the goo goo gaga diaper thing ain't going to be the deal. I have never, now I, it's Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel. Thank you very much for listening to this wonderful radio program. It's should be up for a Marconi. It is not. Marconi, the big radio award. It should be up for syndicated show of the year, but that's just me. So, this guy, in the diaper, he's not going to change. So what do you do with these people? Where do you put them? What? How do you go out and manage this issue? It's seemingly, we can no longer lock people up indiscriminately forever. It's just, it just doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't work at all. And I think that's bad. I think it's time that we lock everybody up that's a whack job like this forever. You know, there's a little sanitarium action. You know, a little funny farm. What's wrong with that? Bring back the funny farms. 855-839-1210. That's 855-839-1210. It's Sterling Every Damn Night as we go through and enjoy the wonders of you know, just the enjoyment of current events and the love of life. Next, coming up in 5 minutes, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood. It's going to be giving us a wonderful review of Freakier Friday exclusively on Sterling Every Damn Night. It is Sterling Every Damn Night, the Sunday edition. I'm Peter Thiel, in for Walter M. Sterling. He'll be making a triumphant return before you know it. The movie is Freakier Friday. Yes, yeah, Jamie Lee Curtis and Lindsay Lohan have grown up. And with your review, Matthias Boom Boom Hollywood.
Boom Boom Hollywood, Sterling Every Damn Night.
Thanks very much. It's always great to join Sterling every damn Sunday. At the movies, Walt Disney revives Freaky Friday once more with Freakier Friday, starring Lindsay Lohan and Jamie Lee Curtis. This opened last Friday night, rather appropriately, and is a sequel to the 2003 Freaky Friday, also with Curtis and Lohan, which, of course, was a remake of the 1976 Disney movie with Barbara Harris and Jodie Foster. Disney even made a TV version of the property back in 1995 with Shelley Long and Gabby Hoffman, which was shown on ABC. This new offering, Freakier Friday, takes place 22 years after the transposition of mother and daughter into each other's bodies, and now Anna, played by Lindsay Lohan, has a daughter of her own, Harper, played by Julia Butters. You might remember her from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or the TV series American Housewife. When Anna falls for Eric, played by Manny Jacinto, and their wedding is imminent, Harper must spend time with Manny's daughter, Lily, played by Sophia Hammonds, who is Harper's arch rival on the high school campus. The last thing the young girls want is to be related to each other. After visiting a psychic at an event, it happens again, times two. The two young girls are switched with their mother and grandmother, and in their new roles try everything possible to prevent the wedding from happening. As the story devolves, they later must resolve everything in other bodies they're not used to. The writing of this movie was disastrous and convoluted. You couldn't care for anyone in it, and if you can't connect or engage with anyone in the story, you just want to leave. Freakier Friday is an overlong, ponderous embarrassment. The supporting cast, which includes Chad Michael Murray and Mark Harmon, whose hair is now totally white, likely from being in this movie, offer the few good moments in the picture, but even they can't fix this dog of a movie, Freakier Friday. If you want to find out more about these movies or the special programs I present in theaters, I invite you to go to my Facebook page, Matias Bombal's Hollywood. That's MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood, like the city. MATIASBOMBAL, Hollywood. Next Sunday on this show, I'll be talking about Nobody 2, a movie with Bob Odenkirk, Christopher Lloyd, Sharon Stone, and Colin Hanks. It's about a workaholic that takes his family on vacation, but soon finds himself in the crosshairs of a corrupt theme park operator, a shady sheriff, and a big crime boss. So we have that to look forward to on this program Sunday next. I thank you so much for having me on tonight. Now, back to the studios of Sterling every damn Sunday.
Hey, thank you very much, Boom Boom. I'm Peter Thiel. I'm in for Walter M. Sterling. I'm very excited not to see Freakier Friday. I saw the original Freaky Friday. I'm kind of against reboots to a certain extent. I don't know why Hollywood cannot come up with great ideas and great adventures. Part of it is, of course, the international flavor of movie making now. So much of the revenue comes from all over the world, especially Asia, China, and Japan, etc. I have been to see an American movie in a foreign movie theater where they speak different languages. In Mexico City, I've seen a couple of different movies, and you know, they have the, it's all in English, and they have the subtitles in Spanish. And I kept thinking to myself, what if this feller can't read the Spanish all that well? Apparently that's not an issue in Mexico. It is a thing. Now, what I miss about Mexican movie theaters is that how they serve popcorn, and it's kind of a mess. And they don't put butter on popcorn. They can if you want. They put on salsa Valentina. Salsa Valentina, if you go to your better grocery stores or you walk into a Latin grocer, you know, it's and go and enjoy the wonders of salsa Valentina. It's actually kind of a cheap bottle of salsa. Fantastic on popcorn, and it's really, really, really good on fish. If you have like salmon or tilapia, whatever type of fish item that you make at home, perhaps you have kids who beg for fish sticks and you're going, how many times can I eat fish sticks? And that tartar sauce ain't that good. Pick up some salsa Valentina. It's awfully delicious. I like it a lot. I have it in my fridge. I put it on salmon. I put it on all sorts of different fish items. It's absolutely terrific. A small bottle, I think I paid like $1.25 for a small bottle. It lasts a little bit. Now, I can eat spicy food. Now, there's some people who they shy from any spice. This is not, you know, it's not like, well, these ghost pepper sauces or something like that that's over the top hot. Has kind of a medium heat to it. And I like medium heat. I don't know where you come down on medium heat, but yeah. Salsa Valentina, next time you microwave up some popcorn. Does anybody air corn, air pop corn anymore? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Generally speaking, when I go down the snack food lane, and I don't know about you, thinking healthy is not necessarily my first impression, the first thing that I want. I want to go and enjoy the beauty of all-you-can-eat terrible food. If you're going to go down the snack food item, you don't want it to be good. Now, I've been trying to be a good eater. I've been, I actually did the nutritionist thing. Went to see a registered dietitian because I recently moved in the last about 6-7 months. And I've plumped up really good. I am a large tub of goo. So I went to go see a dietitian. She put me on a diet very similar to what I've done before. And yeah, I've already dropped like 8 pounds in like 2 weeks. It's great. It's not even that much of an effort. It's good. Just eating well. It's at least for me. I don't know about you. When it comes to weight loss or any type of habit that you may have, you may want to quit drinking or smoking, or perhaps you're that fellow that we were talking about earlier, this guy in Texas who just drives around his truck wearing a diaper yelling goo goo gaga at young girls. Whatever problem you may have, no judgment here, none. You want to get away from the judgment, you need somebody to hold you accountable. Accountability, it's a real thing. So what I do is that, okay, I need to drop some LBs. We have a family wedding in about 6 weeks. And, yeah, I'm going to be absolutely, I'm going to be taking off this weight. I'm going to be looking pretty good. Coming up, more with me, Peter Thiel, Sterling every damn night, exclusively right here. Across the Estados Unidos. That's Spanish for the United States of America. And we look forward to speaking with you exactly coming up on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sir, when there is a wrong to right, it's Sterling Every Damn Night. On the sea or on the land, one gets the situation well in hand.
It's Peter Thiel in for Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. It's if you happen to be a gentleman who's a single man, such as myself, there's a wonderful poll that's come out to say, what do women find attractive in a man? For hobbies. Yeah, hobbies. And here's what comes out on top. It's cooking. Reading, foreign languages, playing an instrument, painting, writing, gardening, swimming, photography. I do photography. I do photography, writing, cooking. I do speak a little bit of a foreign language. What else is on there? Hiking, astronomy, archery, blacksmithing. I don't know a lot of guys who are doing blacksmithing these days. Traveling. And I like to travel. That's strong. Women love that. Here's, for the single ladies, yeah, you can call up and sell yourself to me at 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 nationwide. It is Sterling every damn night. Here's what women don't find attractive. And I'm going to start with gambling. I'm not much of a gambler. Porn, yeah, not that much. Arguing online, yeah, not that much. Something called Funko. I don't know what Funko is. I feel like I'm out of it. I'm going to have to look that up. Marijuana. They don't like the weed. They don't like clubbing. They don't like their guys clubbing. They don't like cigars. Let's see. So far, I'm pretty good on this. I do play the ponies now and again, but it's like 10 bucks a wax. So it's no big deal. Crypto. Are you into crypto? Ladies aren't into that. Okay, I won't tell them about my crypto stuff. Makeup. Yeah, wear makeup. Anime. Drinking. Debating. Now, these are at the top, and there's really no questions why. In fact, last week, we heard from Dutch the Barber, who found himself at a hotel in Pittsburgh where the furries were. That's where people, generally white people, hate to be, I hate to be stereotypical, but yeah, white people. They dress up as a furry animal. And they get amorous with each other. Well, that's called cosplay, costume play. Yeah, women don't like that very much. They find it unattractive. 32% of women find that unattractive. But the least likely way for you to be successful with women are with comic books. Comic books. I promise you this. I do not own one comic book. I don't have one. In fact, when I was a kid, people are going to freak out about this. And if you have a thought on it, we would love to hear from you right here on Sterling every damn night. Phone number is 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Comic books, when I was a kid, if you openly said you were a comic book fan, you were likely to get beat up at school. I know people have a hard time believing that since, like, now every movie that comes out, unless it's a reboot like Freakier Friday, it is a superhero movie, a comic book-based movie. That has been such a huge thing. Well, that's a turnoff for women. Women not big fans of the comic book stuff. If you sit there and you say, yeah, in my rumpus room, I have 15,000 comic books. Generally speaking, if the woman has design on you, she's going to want you to get rid of them. She's going to figure out, she all of a sudden says, well, you know, everything else is kind of a win. Nice career, good looking guy. It's, doesn't have bad habits other than 15,000 comic books sitting in his rumpus room. And so the women will come in, they'll want to fix that. They'll want you to get rid of your comic book collection. And that's what happens. Generally speaking, if you are in the world of wanting to correct people in your life, you go, hey, that person that I want to date, that person, they'd be pretty good if they didn't have this. You know, if they dropped 10 pounds or they colored their hair purple, whatever it may be. And because of that, you go through and you find these things. Now, looking at these issues where women hate about men, apparently. You know, comic books, cosplay, debating, drinking. And it doesn't really go into the whole thing about drinking. If you're going out with the boys drinking, yeah. I get it. Some women don't like that. If you're like having a beer or a bourbon or a glass of wine or a gin and tonic upon occasion after work, I would tend to think that would be all right. Anime, yeah, you're really interested in Japanese animation. Not good. Dude, if you're putting on makeup, this isn't the 1980s where if you put on a little makeup, the ladies were all over you. They don't want that now. Crypto. Yes, definitely a dude thing, isn't it? Now, do you own crypto? I have some, and it's not a lot. And here's how I picked it up. I was at my sister's house for Thanksgiving I don't know, like 3-4 years ago. And her middle child, a masculine child, was all into buying Shiba Inu. Yeah, it's a coin you can get. So I own some Sheep coin, and I own some Bitcoin, which apparently makes me really unattractive to women. So I guess I have to now say, play like I don't own it. I don't own Sheep coin. I don't have Bitcoin. No, I'm not like Captain All Over It. I'm not, in fact, I want to take a look while I'm here on the air, see how my Sheep coin has done this year. I went to log in on my laptop, let's see here. What's going on? Oh, they want me to hook up my Bluetooth. You see, we're doing a little IT work right here. And so there you go. Okay, a notification has been sent. Now I can take a look. And we'll see how much my wonderful Sheep coin has gone up today, because that's where the majority of it is. So there you go. It's a fun thing to go through. I don't know where you come down on it's a really a good day today. I'm up, I'm up like 2% today. It's awesome. This is making me highly unattractive to women. Highly unattractive. But on the thing where women really like me, I'm real strong. I like to read. I speak a little Spanish. Don't play an instrument. I like to cook. Not a woodworker. I'm not, not my thing. Painting, I would like to pick up, your type of painting. I think I'd be more like a Jackson Pollock type guy, because I'm not my hands don't hold that still. They don't. Writing, I like to write. Gardening, yeah. Swimming, it's been a while since I went swimming, but I like swimming. I'm big into swimming. Photography, I have some pretty good equipment. Astronomy, I really like astronomy. I don't own a telescope. And I probably need to get that. Hiking, like doing that. Never archery'd. Never done that. But I'm curious, if you go into, let's say, a place where there's a lot of single ladies, and you sit there and you say, yeah, I'm into archery. I'm real big into archery. I don't know if all of a sudden the women go out and say, you know what? I would love to watch you do that. And then if you don't know how to do it, you're in really bad shape. 86% of women say if you commit archery, they're all about it. And they're all about the blacksmithing. And now, what's the name of that show? 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210, where they're doing the blacksmithing. It's Forge and Fire, is that what it's called? I've watched it, and I have buddies of mine that they just go on and on. That's their favorite show of all time. Yeah, I'm not a big archery guy. Coming up more, it is Sterling every damn night. I'm Peter Thiel, and we'll have lots of fun coming up next right here on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Hi, I'm retired police detective Vic Ferrari. And on this week's episode, find out how one car thief had David Copperfield-like skills. Coming up in moments on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Here he comes every damn night. It's Walter Sterling and he's always right. Hey, it's Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. He's not the young generation, but he's always right. Sterling, Sterling, Sterling every damn night. He's not the young
Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. I am ensconced in my home studio. I'm coming to you from Columbia, Missouri. Yep, right between Kansas City and St. Louis, if you drive down I-70, right there in the middle. I'm right off Providence, right on the freeway there. Good luck finding me, but that's where you find me if you want to be a part of it. By the way, if you want to call, if you have anything to say, 855-839-1210. We've been talking, they came up with this list of what makes women attractive. If you're a single guy like I am, you're trying to figure out, okay, I think I'm a pretty good catch. Why am I not making it with ladies? It may be your hobbies, your interests. And yeah, if your interests are high up there with comic books, cosplay, debating, drinking, they say something called MTG. What's MTG? I'm not familiar with what that is. Let me know. 855-839-1210. Makeup. I don't wear makeup. Anime. I love Japan, by the way. I love Japanese people. I love their food. I'm not one of these people that's really big into anime. Have you ever been at like a cocktail party and all of a sudden you're with a couple of people and all of a sudden they start going off on anime? Holy capoli. It's and by the way, what is good makeup for men? Can somebody help me with that? I try to think of myself as a pretty sophisticated man. And yes, I have worn makeup, not by my own volition, because of being a powerful member of the media. It's I have had to go in over the years and take official company photos, and where they have a makeup artist to go through. And believe me, I have an expanding forehead. My forehead is growing exponentially, and by nature, I'm kind of a pale man. I'm not necessarily a gentleman who tans well. I was not blessed that way. My dad would get outside, and within minutes, he was perfectly tanned. Not me. My brother and sister don't have that either. I don't know how we missed out on that. And but we don't have that ability to naturally tan really quickly. So, yeah, women don't like cigars. I don't smoke cigars. There you go. They don't like the guys going out of clubbing. They don't like the weed, the marijuana. And I'll tell you what, now that marijuana is basically legal almost everywhere, it's how many states where it isn't? You can smell it forever, that skunky smell. Not a fan. Not a fan overall. I understand that marijuana is really good for glaucoma. Really good. So there you go. Arguing online, if you're one of these people that just goes around, you're a professional troll, and you're proud of it, you explain to people, you know what? I'm really good at trolling. Women, as a general rule, don't like that. But woodworking, big. Reading, if you talk to them about the book you're reading, it's really good.
30 seconds.
And for women, they have something called chick lit. It's women's literature. That's where most books are being sold right now. Guys, we really don't have that much. So it's called business books or books on self-improvement. For the regular guy. Coming up next hour, I have the thing, a warning about franchises. It's coming up next on Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
This
This is the show that's setting the trend. Across the nation, it's setting the trend. It's the bright, exciting sound of Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Damn Night.
It is Peter Thiel in for the Walter M. Sterling, Sterling Every Damn Night, and I am here to enjoy you. And hanging out with you. An interesting article. Apparently there's quite a kerfuffle around one particular franchise. And I don't know how true this is or not. It's what I have found is that franchises have a certain way of going out and making a living. And, of course, it's off the sales of a particular store. Frequently, you go to franchises that have been around for a long time. You know, for instance, McDonald's has been there forever. The UPS store, Chick-fil-A. I know people who own Chick-fil-A franchises. They absolutely love it. But they're not all created equal. And apparently there's been quite a kerfuffle around a chain franchise that you may be familiar called Dickie's Barbecue, according to an article in today's edition of the world's finest newspaper, the New York Post. It's a tough business to be in. The restaurant business is tough all the way around. It is by far the most difficult business. And a lot of times people go out and they age out of their careers. Or perhaps they were in a position where they received a buyout. And all of a sudden they have money, they have energy, and they go, well, you know, why not open a restaurant? And I know several people. I have an old boss of mine who all of a sudden he retired in his late 50s. He did very well for himself and started putting together franchises for a pizza joint, pizza and sandwiches place called Bellasino's. And he had those open for about a decade, and I don't think any of them are open anymore. Very difficult to run because a restaurant business is very, very labor intensive. Very labor intensive. And especially if you're a small franchisee, likely you're going to be there a lot. Maybe you have children who are in their later teenage years or just finished college or going to college. You can have them work there. A good way to keep them off the street. But here's how your standard operating franchise company makes their money. They make their money frequently selling you the food items that you're going to use. They sell you the recipes. They sell you the know-how. You give them in return also a piece of your revenue. So a piece of your revenue, 2%, 5%, whatever it is. And a lot of times there's a marketing budget as part of the franchisees. And you end up having to pay to build the restaurant or build whatever business it may be. I have a buddy of mine. He and his wife just, and they were at a point where they, you know, they'd sort of done everything with their careers and wanted to do something differently, do something a little bit different. So his wife had worked in catering forever. In catering, you know, there's food involvement, there's sales, there's all that good things. So they went and applied to be, and I won't name the franchise company, but it's one that used to be really popular and everywhere, and good luck seeing it now. It's not around very much. And so they go in, and she was the numbers person. This buddy of mine, kind of a creative guy, kind of really sort of over-the-top creative. He goes to the thing with the wife, and he's going to be doing stuff with the restaurant and, you know, helping the creative vision, etc. And they're into like a 1 week sort of preview of what it takes to run the restaurant. And it's not just the preparing the food item. This was a sandwich place. It was not preparing the food items. It also was all the business end of it. Here's the software. Here's how much it's going to cost for you to build the store with the equipment that you buy from us, etc. And they and his wife just looked and went through the numbers that, you know, as they were going through. She goes, we'll never be able to make a living off of this. This is a hobby, not a franchise. So they walked away. A lot of people, they don't understand what they walk into when they get the franchise business, because the franchisor, they make money off of you buying the wrapper for the food. They make money off of a percentage of every sale. They make money a lot of times on the food ingredients. And the beauty about buying a franchise for someone who is not an experienced person in a certain industry is that you get all the expertise. You get all the expertise of what they do, of how they put things together. And there are a lot of people, by the way, that when folks are trying to get out of franchises, they try to buy everything on a discount. Those people usually do very, very well. I have a buddy of mine who runs a bunch of restaurants in the Midwest. These aren't big restaurants. They're little restaurants, diners, that type of stuff. And you go in and you have the diner type thing and you buy a feeling diner for pennies on the dollar. Well, you're going to make money on that. And that's what my buddy Tony does. Tony has all these restaurants, not real big, don't do a lot of business, but he bought them so cheaply and he's able to go out and create a menu that is profitable that he makes money off of each one. And so he makes a really good living, but essentially his entire job is driving restaurant to restaurant to restaurant to restaurant to meet his manager and the cook and the stuff and make sure the money's going through. He swings by to pick up money every day. He's essentially driving from open to close of his restaurants every day. It's a very difficult way to make a living, but he loves it. He loves food and loves being a part of it. So that is how this is done. So before you go into the whole idea of wouldn't it be great to own a restaurant, and you've seen the show Kitchen Nightmares, right? Where all of a sudden somebody goes out and they buy a restaurant. And all of a sudden they meet the husband and wife, and one of them wanted to buy it, usually the wife, but sometimes the husband. And you find out they don't have any background in the business. You find out that I saw one of the Kitchen Nightmares shows where they brought in Gordon Ramsay, who was cussing the entire time. Neither of the people cooked. They had no idea what they were doing, but they thought the location looked great. So they bought a failing restaurant and basically went through every piece of money in their lives. They are in the process of losing their home. They're in the process of all that sort of stuff. Well, a franchise gives you a clear business plan. Now, choosing the right franchise, I'm not an expert on that. But that's sort of the deal. So if you're going to put all of your money into a franchise, know what you're getting into. Find, and a lot of times you can find these sort of like old codgers who are retired business people. You know, the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business Owners. Get with that. And a lot of times your local chamber of commerce, they may have a little deal there to go through. Dig in, look into it. Get real close to it. And you may find out and you may go and find out, wow, that's a great deal or that's not a good deal. And a lot of times just going in and being a part of it is, you know, part of the fun. You're listening to Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. Yeah, Peter Thiel, that's my name. It's that's what I was born with. That's what my parents gave me. It's a heck of a deal all the way around. I'm going to give you an update on my neighbors, Brad and Sheila. Brad and Sheila are very big into Halloween. And Halloween decorating has already started for them. I'll give you an update what's going on in their yard and you know, how this works. And they are like my favorite people in the entire world. They're wonderful people. But, yeah, the Halloween thing, it's a little over the top. You are listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. That's coming up next. I'm Peter Thiel.
The people of Art Sterling every damn night.
It's that time of year. It's back to school, and it's a really expensive thing to do. You ask any parent, you have to hook up the kid with new clothes, shoes, socks, underwear, and school supplies. Thank goodness there's Walmart. Walmart has the best supplies for school and also fashions. Your kid will be the most popular kid in school with some wonderful fashions, whether it be for your masculine child or your feminine child, or if you have a child that, yeah, no, who knows what it is. Yes, you can get clothes for your child right at your neighborhood Walmart. But let's talk about school supplies. Boy, this is great. Starts off with school glue. You know that stick glue? Smells great. It's actually washable. It's for a 2-count that'll last the kids, you know, at least 2-3 months. 50 cents. Crayola markers, 97 cents. Oh, and there's so many things to get at your neighborhood Walmart. The Pen and Gear wide-ruled poly one-subject notebook with inside pockets. Inside pockets, you can leave that sort of that setup for secret codes that you have. I don't know, when you were a kid, we were sort of, in my school, we were sort of like the Zodiac Killer. We had our own code, and we'd decode it so we'd write notes to each other. Dear Becca, I think you're kind of cute. Signed, Velo Bentco Snack Cup. Yeah, just for your kid to bring snacks to school, $13.88. Garanimals starting at $3.43. I like Garanimals a whole lot. You know why? You don't have to think too tough. It's like the one animal goes with the one animal, and that's all you have to do when you put on clothes. It's strong. Garanimals. Garanimals, they are a thing, and I love them. Earbuds, starting at $16.59. And shoes, starting at $7.33. Yeah, you can get the best in fashions, the best in school supplies at the largest corporation in the world, your friendly neighborhood Walmart. For the people of Walmart, I'm Velo Hool. Sterling every damn night.
He's Walter Sterling, and he gives the bosses a fright, 'cause he's kinda unpredictable on Sterling every damn night.
It's Peter Thiel in for the man himself, Walter M. Sterling. Sterling every damn night. And yeah, lots of stuff going on for us to discuss, and I'm pretty doggone excited about it as well. Now, I'm trying to remember something. Sean, help me, your friend out here. I was teasing forward to something. I had a forward tease, which is what all the radio consultants say. You gotta have a tease. And I gave a tease. I thought a pretty good tease, and now I can't remember what I teased about. Do you have any idea, Sean?
I'm trying to think about it. Like, what was the most logistic parts of what you were thinking about for the show today? Because, you know, I just came in like a good 10 minutes ago. You know,
855-839-1210. Oh, it's Brad and Sheila, my next door neighbors. They are awesome people. I mean, just you would love to have them as neighbors. I mean, really, really good. Okay, they have two fetishes. Not in a bad way. Halloween's a pretty big deal for them. And we're talking about their yard isn't that big. And they had last year 50 items up in their front yard. 50. And I mean, it's like they have the 12-foot skeleton. They've got the pumpkin skeleton that its belly lights up like it's going to spit fire. I mean, it's they've got it all. They've got it all going on. And so Brad, the husband, and this isn't even his hobby. This is a honeydew list of honeydew lists. This guy started right after the 4th of July putting up Halloween stuff. Because this is, you know, he's a busy man. This is a guy, he's got a full-time career. He's got a kind of a side hustle. And when he's at home, it's expected during this time of year he gets everything ready. Because, around, October 1st is where it really kicks in. But they have to get everything set up. They have to get the power. They've even brought in an electrician to set this up. I mean, it's quite the deal. So I'm watching him put this up. And because I'm a good man, I walk over with a beer. And I hand him a beer. And because he needs some, it's hot outside. Beer is good. It can help him. It can help him be totally focused on, and you know, refreshment, allowing him to finish this job of what he's putting up. So he's a hero. And his wife gets out and is like straw bossing him. And since I'm their neighbor and they like me, apparently, allegedly, I make fun of them. I make fun of her. I make fun of him. I just make fun of everybody. They laugh and, I move along. Because teasing is sort of my love language. People who get to know me, spend time around me, at some point, I will begin to tease them. And that's sort of, it's actually something I love to do. And it's a very natural teasing. Very natural. And so I look forward to that very, very much. So coming up right after this, you've been seeing all the social media posts looking at these sororities doing this dancing to recruit into the sorority. Well, there's like a backstory to this that I will explain to you. And by the way, sororities, keep dancing. It's awfully nice. Those men at your school, lucky.
All news, more news. Day and night around the clock, it's all news. You get it all when you set your time to serve.
Every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. I am here with you all the way. We've got about another a little over an hour to go, and it's very exciting. So you've all of a sudden seen this a lot on social media. It's sorority houses with gals doing a lot of dancing, haven't you? You've seen these things come across your feed. I know I have. And apparently this has become quite a deal. Where it used to be the sorority, you go sign up, there'd be some mean girl stuff and they'd get in. Now it's far beyond that. There are actual sorority consultants. So if you're a parent of, let's just say you have a 16-year-old girl at home who really wants to make it into a nice sorority of the university of her choice. Well, here's what you have to do. You have to go and you have to dress them up pretty good. They got to be in like $3,000 purses. They've got a wide variety of stuff to get into that school. A little entitlement. You also need to hire a consultant. And so according to this article that's in the New York Post, I've seen girls get out from houses they want or get cut from houses that they want to join. They end up leaving, going to a different school. Kylan is the name of the girl, a senior at the University of Alabama. And apparently a queen of Rush Talk. Apparently it's fueled by TikTok, all sorts of different social media. And, yeah, it's quite the presentation for these women to get into these sororities. To the point where it just seems like if you're a parent and you want to get your daughter into that sorority, it's a heck of a deal all the way around. These are some entitled people. And that's highly problematic because it's, you know, these gals will get into their career. And I know people like this. You do, too. Where all of a sudden you are the child or you have a buddy who's the child of some uber successful people. Even if they get into the fraternity or sorority of their choice. Once they get into the real world, that's where it begins to change. And if you talk to employers, there was something that came out that like, you know, like 7 out of 10 Gen Zers have brought a parent on their job interview. And I had this happen not that long ago. This couple of years ago. All of a sudden, hiring someone, it was entry level into a radio station type position. Perfect for someone who had a degree. And this person went to a fancy-dancy school. They went to Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt's a very, very good school. I think they refer to themselves as an Ivy League school in the South. And if you've not been to the campus, it's in Nashville. Gorgeous, great place to go. Absolutely amazing. So this guy graduated college and he wanted to go and join the wonders of being in radio programming. And when you start a job in radio programming, you're not making a lot of money. It's sort of like you get in, you earn your, it's like an actor or an actress. You're not graduating from, you know, acting school from college and jumping in and being the star of a movie or a TV show. It's just not the way it works. You usually have to work your way up. You're taking classes. You're doing all sorts of different things as you move up the corporate ladder. So the job that we were offering him, the company that I worked for at the time, was actually pretty good pay. And it was just entry level into radio job because no matter what, whenever you hire someone out of college, whether it be in radio or you're into medical school, if you get out of medical school, you're doing residency. What are you doing at residency? You're learning how to be a doctor. You're learning the process of being a doctor. You have all the book smarts. You've done all the education, but essentially you're an apprentice doctor. A lot of people go in and you're just out of law school. You're going and you're like a junior person doing junior type stuff at a law firm. You're not like graduating college, taking the bar, and then the next day doing a big criminal defense case. No, you're learning from the bottom up, and that's the way it works. And it doesn't pay that well at the beginning. Well, so this guy said, well, my buddies are getting paid this. And I go, and of course I said, what's their degree in? They're engineers. Yeah, you know what? An engineer is going to make a lot more money. Should have thought about that. Should have learned a little bit about it before you picked your career goals. There's money to be made. You can make a great living in broadcasting or almost in any career these days, but you have to realize there's a certain amount of paying your dues. So you have these sorority gals whose parents are paying apparently, you know, thousands upon thousands of dollars to bring in sorority consultants. And yeah, that's not good. and not good whatsoever. And by the way, anyone who and good for them, if they're in the sorority consulting business, that seems like there's a lot of money going into this. Remember this thing that happened a few years ago? Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin's husband all went to jail because they were committing fraud with their child to get their child into the college of their choice. And they were paying someone to cheat on tests, their stupid celebrity kids, Nepo babies are able to get into school. Well, that's what's going on with these sororities. Same type of thing. And if you know people who've been members of fraternities or sororities, there are a lot of advantages to it as their career gets going, depending on the career choice that you make. You can do quite well with it because you have a brother or a sister, depending on which thing that you are a member of, that are able to help you in your career path. Hey, this is my buddy. It's my I went to school with him. You can get those introductions. It's really important at the beginning of your career because you can go in and be a part of it. There's a lot of folks, depending on where you are, where the university you went to is an entree to getting a better position right out of college. It doesn't even have to be, quote unquote, a fancy college. It doesn't have to be the Harvard or the Yale or the Vandy or the Dartmouth or the Stanford or Berkeley or USC. Those types of schools that are high level universities. If you are in places like, for instance, you're in Alabama, and you went to Auburn or Alabama, there are people who automatically hire you because you went to that school because they went there. That happens a lot. The sorority and fraternity thing, yeah, that can help you in your career as you're done with school. But that's kind of the deal. Kind of the deal going on. I'm a big fan, by the way, of these sorority dancing videos. I think they're pretty neat. It makes me want to go out and say, I would like to be an old man in your sorority. Is there a place for me? Yeah, just me. Sterling Every Damn Night. My name is Peter Thiel. And coming up after the news at the top of the hour, we're going to be speaking with Dave Scott. He's the ancient alien theorist. He's big into aliens. I have questions, and he's got the answers. That's coming up not far from now, right here on Sterling Every Damn Night.
Sterling Every Night, the car horns alive, neon lights flicker, the patrons talking jive, bullets over trailer parks under the moonlight sky. Detective Vic Ferrari always gets his guy.
On this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk about a car thief who had David Copperfield-like illusionist skills. It was in the mid-2000s, and my partner and I were sitting up on Jerome Avenue near the last stop on the number 4 train. Now, there was a mile stretch of roadway. On one side, you had Woodlawn Cemetery. The other side, you had a park. And no one was around, and this is pre-cell phone. So what people would do is they would park their vehicles, walk up this stretch of roadway, and take the train into Manhattan. Well, no one was around, so the place was ripe for auto break-ins and car theft. So what my partner and I would do is we would sit up there with a pair of binoculars, binoculars, and we would just wait. Before long, someone would come bopping by or get dropped off, and before you know it, they'd break a window or punch a door lock. They're sitting in a car, and they're going to steal it. Now, sometimes we would just drive right up on them and grab them, catch them in the act. Other times, if we thought it was more of an organized theft ring, we would follow them to where they were taking the car and to get a search warrant for the location. Well, this one particular day, I saw a guy look like a drug addict, comes walking up the street, and he just stops and he sits on a fence and he's looking around and he's pretending to tie his shoe. He's dusting himself off. He wants to make sure he's not being followed. Well, he's sitting on this fence and he's looking both ways, and I see him, like, it looks like he's doing something with his fingers, and he's flicking it at the side of this car. And I'm looking at my partner. I go, what is he, got something sticky on his fingers? The next thing you know, he gets up off this little fence and he's inside the car. And I go, what did he do? How did he get in? Like, he didn't throw a brick through the window. I didn't see him with a screwdriver. He seemed like he was flicking something. He's inside the car. My partner and I roll up, and sure enough, there's this drug addict inside the car, and he's trying to start it. My partner and I throw him in handcuffs, bring him into the station house, and while I'm searching him, the only really thing he has on him was a screwdriver and these little broken pieces of what look like spark plugs. So I asked him, I go, what is this? And he goes, I'm not telling you anything. I said, all right, fine. So about a half hour later, he's starting to go through withdrawal. And he goes, listen, if you buy me a Coke, I'll tell you what those little rocks are. And I says, well, what are they? He goes, they're ninja rocks. I go, what the hell is a ninja rock? He says, well, what I do is I get my hands on spark plugs and I break them into little chips. And then if you flick them at tempered glass, it'll break. And I says, who taught you that? Did you go to school or something? He goes, I'm not a scientist. I'm a heroin addict. So needless to say, it was an inventive way how drug addicts will break into cars. So never underestimate anybody, because you can always learn something from somebody. So for more behind the scenes NYPD stories, be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Presumption and Dysfunction.
Sterling every damn night. Sterling every damn night.
It's Sterling every damn night. My name is Peter Thiel. You can hear me coast to coast as I fill in for Walter. It's from Sacramento to Maine, from Florida, Angeles. You can hear me all over the country, and pretty exciting to be with you. You can give me a ring, of course, at 855-839-1210. You know, we still have toll-free lines. Is there a need for one anymore? On their cell phone, anything in the continental United States is free to call. I don't know why we need toll-free lines, but we got one. 855-839-1210. It is pretty doggone exciting to be a part of Sterling every damn night. Expert on everything alien. We're going to talk to him after the top of the hour. Last week when he was on, I was filling in, we started digging in to dark matter. And if you don't know what dark matter is, to say, it's this, you know, this thing they can't fully define. They can't fully put it together, but it's there. They can't prove it. They just know it's there, and they believe that's what holds the universe together. I believe we know nothing about what goes on beyond, even on our planet, we don't quite get it all. We have scientists who think that we can control the weather. I don't believe that. I don't think that that there's this magic thing, this amazing place. We're so fortunate to where we are, because in the solar system, otherwise we'd be gone, we'd be dead. And what I look at this is that we know nothing. And right now, it's most critical physics. We have ideas. We can look at all the great information. What do we know? Not a lot. My name is Peter Thiel. I am in for Walter M. Sterling at Sterling Every Damn Night. We're going to come up third hour of this award-winning show next.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Copeland.
Sterling every night, lost in space. Mission control, baby shots.
Every damn night, I am Peter Thiel, and for the man himself, Mr. Walter M. Sterling. Joining us now from spacedoutradio.com is Dave Scott. And Dave, I want to open up with dark matter. It's explain it to those who may not have heard the term before.
Oh, goodness, you're catching me off guard here on a day, Dave? Where I'm not prepared. Can you hear me okay, Peter?
Let's see here. Well, hopefully Dave Scott will be with us momentarily. There you are.
Testing. Can you hear me? Testing. 1, 2. Beautiful.
I opened up hot. I threw the fastball inside by saying, you're going to explain dark matter to us and why that's so important.
Oh, goodness, Peter. You know, you're catching me off guard on a day where I had to race out of town because my daughter had a boyfriend issue that I had to deal with. So I'm not prepared for that question. I hate to tell you that. I hate to be a part of that, but I'm not prepared for dark matter tonight.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. We can move out. By the way, I was looking at the merch at spacedoutradio.com. You have some pretty good merch there.
Oh, you should. You know what? You'd look good in a Bigfoot t-shirt. You would.
Yeah, I think I would. Again, it would probably help me with ladies.
You know what? You send me your address via email and your phone number, and I will send you something. How about that?
Oh, that'd be wonderful. So, Dave, what's going on in the world of aliens? What do we need to know?
Oh, the world of aliens right now is really up in the air because we're all on pins and needles wondering what the government is saying, because in the last 2 weeks, Vice President J.D. Vance and Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard have both unequivocally made statements about UFOs. And to be honest with you, Peter, this is out of the ordinary. It's out of the ordinary because we don't usually see, or rather we've never seen, a Vice President of the United States or the Director of National Intelligence saying that there is a cover-up going on and that we need to figure out what it is. Now, in the UFO world, we are used to politicians and everybody talking tough about this subject, that we're going to get to the bottom of these UAPs, unidentified anomalous phenomena, and nothing ever happens because the deep state and the military-industrial complex, which seems to control things, never says it. But J.D. Vance, 2 weeks ago, basically stated that during the August recess, he was going to do a deep dive himself because this is a topic that he just can't seem to get his mind around. It fascinates him. Follow that up with Tulsi Gabbard, who basically said, I got to watch what I say about this topic because I have my own beliefs, but I also have my NDAs and my top secret clearance that I have to think about first. So the idea behind it, Peter, is we have some bigwigs actually talking about this subject. Whether it goes anywhere or not, that's anybody's guess. We're expected to hear more hearings. We're expected that Chuck Schumer and Mike Rounds are going to table another UFO investigation report within the defense budget coming up this late fall, early winter. Whether it actually goes through, who knows?
Dave Scott, he's with spacedoutradio.com, Sterling Every Damn Night. I'm Peter Thiel. It's I think one of the reasons they kick the can down the road is because of a worry of how the confirmation of aliens would affect the world and the way that our world has been set up and operating for millennia.
Peter, I like the way you use the word confirmation, and let me tell you why. Everybody has been pushing what we call a disclosure movement. They want disclosure of the UFO files. Now, I believe deep inside the Pentagon, there is a Pandora's box, so to speak, of UFO information, life outside the stars, maybe time travel or different dimensions that we are actually coinciding with as we speak. Now, the defense part of it, they don't want to let go of the secrets. There's too many secrets to let out. They're worried about lawsuits. They're worried about the people going against them because, let's just say, for instance, human abductions by aliens are real. How many lawsuits would be filed on that if all of a sudden, let's say, Peter, you found out you were an alien abductee and the U.S. government knew about it? What would you do? The United States being a very litigious country, you would sue. You would sue the government in probably a class action lawsuit with hundreds of thousands of others. And it would cause a lot of financial havoc and probably bring down a government or two. That
you know
being
what?
Said,
you just yeah. told me. I'm finally now just realized I have been kidnapped by the aliens, and doggone it, I want my money.
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's going to go through. And that's part of the reason why they're worried about this topic, is because they also don't want to give up the secrets that they have from crash retrievals and the technology that they have recovered from this. So it is a very difficult subject. And this is why I always say on Spaced Out Radio, we are in a confirmation movement, getting to your word, because it's easy for the government to confirm that this subject is real. They don't know what's going on. They have no information and play dumb about it. But if they disclose what happened at Roswell, what happened at Kecksburg, and many other places where it's alleged crash retrievals were recovered, that's a whole different ballgame, Peter.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that our governments have put themselves in a position that, you know, every time these things are hidden, whatever it is by the government, it actually causes people to have less trust in our leaders and our governmental bodies. And then the government says, well, why don't you listen to the experts? Well, we have been listening to the experts, and you guys have been lying to us.
Well, and that's another big point. The thing is, what people don't understand is how deep this goes. You have scientists who are paid off. You have intelligence community members that are paid off, both in gathering information and proclaiming disinformation. You have the military denying that they have ever recovered anything, that they have ever taken a test of these subjects. And they say, well, Roswell was a hot air balloon. Peter, when's the last time you saw a hot air balloon being picked up by a tri-axle trailer like the one in Roswell in 1947? You don't need a tri-axle trailer. You don't need a platoon of Army soldiers to pick up a weather balloon. You just don't need it.
You need a pickup truck. That'll take care of business.
Exactly. That's all you need. So the secrets are there. It's whether or not people want to actually open up their eyes to figure out that there is a common problem here that isn't being admitted to.
I think that makes all the sense in the world, and I think you're totally correct. I just go from there. Space Out Radio, what's coming up? What do we people need to pay attention to, my friend?
Well, we did an investigation in our Bigfoot spot last night. We'll be talking about it tomorrow night on the show. And, Peter, I'm going to leave you with this because I know you need a good laugh every now and again.
Yes.
We think we were in the vicinity of a Sasquatch last night. And how do we know? Whether it was a bear or whether it was a moose or a Sasquatch, we actually heard something fart in the forest last night.
Nice. They say that Sasquatch, you know you're in the presence if you smell it. Apparently it's stinky like a penguin.
I have never, ever smelled a Sasquatch. I've heard them. But then again, with my nose being broken so many times in hockey, it doesn't work very well. So it may have smelled. I don't know. But yes, I've heard that too.
All right. Dave Scott, spacedoutradio.com. Thank you very much. I'll let you get to your family stuff, and we will talk to you soon right here on Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Hey, thank you. Good to see you. All right. For our first Florida story, we're going to Miami to a restaurant called Miss Cheesius. Isn't that a clever name? Miss Cheesius is a grilled cheese-themed restaurant. And if you hadn't seen one of these before, you may be thinking, you know, what's a gourmet grilled cheese restaurant? Well, things like goat cheese and prosciutto on a marble rye bread. They have grilled blue cheese with bacon sprinkles on a sourdough bread. So you get what I'm going now. Sounds pretty good. Sounds like you might want to try it, but apparently not everyone is a fan. At 4:03 in the morning, a man walks by Miss Cheesius in Miami wearing only shorts and some black sneakers. No shirt. Apparently, he spits at the front window of the Miss Cheesius, walks off. A few minutes later, the man shows up again. This time, pulls a rock out of his pocket. And then the surveillance video shows the man throwing the rock at the front window of Miss Cheesius. It does shatter the glass. The guy runs off into the night. That's it. When the restaurant owner was asked what he thought of the attack, he said it was not Gouda.
Hold my beer.
All right, for our next Florida story, we're going to the border of Florida where it touches both the Atlantic Ocean and Georgia. And as you cross into Florida, there is a welcome center, a Florida welcome center. And I'm sure many thousands, maybe even millions of people have made the joke. Wouldn't that be funny if when you go to the Florida welcome center, there's just a big dumb meth lab waiting on you? And you know what? Your jokes and your dreams have come true. There was a mobile meth lab discovered at the Florida Welcome Center. So, yes, sometimes real jokes and real punchlines are funny because they are so damn true. And it's one of these where they try and do the shake and bake meth, you know, that your mom does when she tries to make it in the car. And it's not like the big Winnebago from Breaking Bad. It really just is in some chintzy little sedan here. A 41-year-old Florida man and his 41-year-old female partner had their Florida vacation cut short while a hazmat crew came and did them a favor and cleaned out their car because, you know, that stuff's dangerous.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to Jacksonville. There is a high school graduating class that got their gowns just a few days before it's time to walk across the aisle. And those that had ordered custom embroidery on it, you know, get your name, class, or whatever. And the company made a boo-boo. It had last year's year on it. And this is confounding because someone not only put in the wrong year to the computer for it to do all the embroidery. Someone watched all these thousands of gowns being embroidered with the wrong date on it. Someone packaged them. Someone sent them off. And it wasn't noticed until it got to the kid. So, I mean, how many people got the day wrong along the way? And these are folks that are trying to tell you how important education is. I don't even think you need to know the Pythagorean theorem as much as you need to know what year it is. Hold my beer. New Smyrna Beach has been making a lot of Florida Stories episodes as of late, and this is a great one. What we have is a pretty attractive Florida woman and her friend. They're both in their 20s, just having a great day at the beach. I don't know what preceded them speeding by some people on the beach at 50 miles an hour. You're not even supposed to have a car on the beach, much less going 50 miles an hour. And when she did a U-turn, she kind of turned into the water and got her car stuck. And so then the cops go out there and they have some helicopter footage and body cam footage of this woman trying to explain how she's not drunk. She just accidentally drove into the ocean here. And of course, it goes about as well as you would expect. But, you know, we are both so blessed that they have all this body cam footage these days. So here's the local authorities at New Smyrna Beach.
Okay, what happened?
I'm not sure. I was the driver, and
right, she was drunk. She was 0.15, which in the history of Florida stories really isn't a whole lot to get too upset about, but it is illegal, so she got arrested. Her friend's going to go bail her out. No harm, no foul. She didn't hit anybody. This really should just be between, you know, her and maybe Jake from State Farm. I thought this was a free country. You can't just drive your car into the water. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
And for our last Florida story, what we have here is just sort of an editorial note. There's not a story I'm bringing up. Just as much, I wanted to point out, when I started this back in 2018, there used to be a lot of bath salt stories that were on Florida stories that first year. And it's trickled off to where I don't think I've done a bath salt story in a couple years, maybe 3-4 years. And what happened to that? Are we not doing bath salts anymore in Florida? I don't know. If you have any answers for me, just reach out to me. Go to the Florida Stories homepage and let me know.
Wait. Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on X at Florida Stories J.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Lesbians in space, Sterling every damn night.
Being a lesbian, I have to come out to the woods every single morning to make sure that I am in touch with nature, grounded into the earth, and filled with lesbianism. I bring you on my sacred journey of lesbianism.
What are you eating? Are those onions on the hamburger? Onions and relish on the hot dog? Do you have your breath emergency kit? The kit that's going to save you from social embarrassment. Zelmin, Z-E-L-M-I-N-S, is your fresh breath emergency kit all summer. Because when you eat onions, garlic, anything that we really love, your breath stinks, and you need a breath emergency kit. Well, it's Zelmin, Z-E-L-M-I-N-S. This is a tiny mint. You pop it in your mouth, move it around in your mouth, and immediately your mouth feels and smells great. But then you swallow it. That's right. You don't let it dissolve. You swallow it. It goes immediately into your system and works in your system to keep your breath fresh, clean, smelling great all day in the summer. Go to Z-E-L-M-I-N-S, Z-E-L-M-I-N-S. Do it now. Put in the promo code Walter. Get the discount you deserve and get the credit I deserve for Z-E-L-M-I-N-S, your summer breath emergency kit.
Business owners, are you paying high phone bills for old school systems and lousy service? Strongtel cuts your phone bills in half and turns every phone you own into a feature-rich business system. Sean Roddy, CEO of Hennings Brothers Drilling, had this to say. We've been a Strongtel customer for over 10 years. It's great. It even includes an intercom with video to our equipment yard. I can watch live from anywhere with my smartphone. I'd recommend Strongtel to anyone. Never miss a customer call again with your Strongtel business system. Strongtel is a proud iTex partner and always welcomes your iTex dollars. You'll get award-winning Strongtel service, a business-class phone system, and cut your phone bill in half. So visit Strongtel.com right now. That's Strongtel, Strongtel.com. Strongtel.
Hey, I'm Brant, and her name is Sherry.
Hello.
She's a friend of mine who we were just praying for because of a surgery she just went through.
Yes, and I am very happy about something you actually talk about all the time, which is
MediShare.
That is right.
Yeah. So what was your experience like with MediShare and healthcare bills?
Honestly, Brant, seamless. And what a blessing that is when you're already nervous about a health issue, which I was.
Yeah.
Members shared my expenses. There were zero problems. And let me tell you, having people pray with you when you call in with your need, that is just
refreshing.
Yes, that's what it is.
But yeah. I keep telling people love MediShare, and they love saving tons of money too. The typical family can save $500 a month.
I am very thankful for MediShare. It is so different, and I mean different in a very, very good way.
It is good different. Call now. They're easy to talk to, and you can get a price within 2 minutes. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You look amazing. What have you been doing?
You've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, if you qualify, Zelthy providers can prescribe semaglutide, the same active ingredient, at up to 90% less without insurance. Done all online.
No wait at the doctor's office or pharmacy?
No wait. Zelthy can ship the same active ingredients as other expensive GLP-1s to your door.
Get started with Zelthy today for just $39. Call #250 and say keyword care. That's the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less. That's #250 keyword care.
Life brings us all kinds of reasons to be away from home longer. And when it does, there's an Echo Suites extended stay by Wyndham ready for you. Whether it's a new opportunity, family visit, or a fresh start in a new city. Introducing a hotel designed to help you feel at home. Whether you're staying a week or settling in for longer, enjoy a kitchenette with all the essentials, on-site fitness centers, laundry facilities, and free Wi-Fi. With comfortable long-term stays and convenient locations, Echo Suites is ready for you. With discounted extended rates, book 7 nights or more and save at echosuites.com.
When there is a wrong to right, it's Sterling every damn night. On the sea or on the land, war gets the situation well in hand.
It's Sterling every damn night. We have, I'm Peter Thiel in for Walter M. Sterling. And now we're going to Fairbanks, Alaska, because that's how we roll. Randy, you're on Sterling every damn night.
Hello. I appreciate you asking that question of your guest. You know, what is dark matter? And he wasn't prepared, and I wouldn't have been prepared either, but I quickly went to Google and looked it up. But anyway, what I was calling about is what you were talking about in your first hour about what women like and what they don't like in fellows. And I just wanted to comment about the blacksmith thing, and it just brought to my mind that the only time I've seen a blacksmith have a regular character role and who was also a romantic symbol for several years, he had this role, and that is Burt Reynolds, who I understand, of course, a lot of ladies liked Burt Reynolds, and he played a blacksmith on Gunsmoke for many years.
Ah, you see, I didn't know that, and that is a heck of a deal. And Burt Reynolds' ex-wife died this last week, and Lonnie Anderson. So very good. Thank you very much, Randy. I am out of time. Thank you for holding on to be a part of that. You are listening to Sterling Every Damn Night. Coming up, we have more Florida stories, followed by the smutty author herself, Thea Landon. I'm Peter Thiel, in for Walter Sterling Every Damn Night.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. For our first Florida story, this is an interesting one. What we have here is a shark attack. Now, that doesn't sound too amazing, right? Well, this is starting to get weird because I've been reporting on a lot of shark bites, and this is, I think, the third time in the last few months that I've reported on a shark bite specifically in the Florida Keys. Now, you know, this show's so ridiculous, you probably think this happens every day, but shark bites kind of are relatively rare. The difference about this story, the reason it's making Florida stories, not just because it's a shark bite and, you know, a human being came across the ocean's perfect killing machine. The guy got bit on land. And that kind of blows my mind. I don't think I've ever reported that before. Even as strange as Florida Stories has been over the last, 5 years of reporting here. So I don't know specifically how the shark got on the dock. That is not mentioned in the story. But a guy was fishing off a pier, and there was a shark that was on the dock that bit his leg. Okay, so this is not what any of us pictured at all. But you go through some of these other shark stories, and there begins to be a picture painted, because when you look at some of the other shark bites in the Florida Keys in this same area, they've been pretty weird here. You know, we actually have had plenty of shark bites that are in the water, but I found where the last two that I reported on the show
were from dudes that were spearfishing. Do you know what spearfishing is? Okay, so you're imagining, okay, you walk out into a river or maybe into the ocean or, you know, off a beach somewhere with a spear and you try and stab a fish like in Blue Lagoon or something. But in this one, there's an added level of Florida difficulty because they are spearfishing about 70 feet underwater. So these guys are in scuba gear and they're going down into these schools of fish and trying to stab them at 70 feet. Feet deep. And so there's a weird thing that happens once you are moderately successful in spearfishing is that, you know, you hit a couple fish here and there, and all of a sudden the water is just chummed up with blood, and here comes the sharks. Now, something I would like to point out, as you can't see me, you're going to take my word for it, but as an American who is one-fourth Hispanic and three-fourths white, I'm going to have to play my one-fourth Hispanic card here and look at the white side of me and be like, this is a phenomenon that is only happening with white Americans. There is not any other race of people that for just funsies are putting on scuba gear and going underwater and spearfishing, not for fun. I mean, not for food, but just for fun. Like this is your recreation. Fine. You almost deserve to get bit by a shark. So, white people, there's a little internal soul searching we need to do, because I'm tired of us hurting ourselves in such weird, extreme X Games type Florida circumstances. It's really embarrassing. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, the headline says quite simply, the shocking moment. A 63-year-old man is brutally attacked inside a Florida movie theater after asking a couple to move a pre-booked VIP seat. It is 100% exactly what you think. If a 63-year-old Florida man shows up at the theater, and these days you can reserve certain seats if you buy them in advance on the app or something like that. And so the guy shows up, someone's in his seat, and I guess he wasn't, I don't know, maybe he wasn't diplomatic enough about it. I'm not blaming anybody here, but it escalates into a fist fight, and you know, a 63-year-old man versus a guy who looks like he is in his 20s, it's not even close. He falls over, and then there's, I don't know, it's only about 15 seconds of mayhem, but the 63-year-old Florida man ended up having to go to the hospital for this, and police did not find the guy that beat him up because he and his date immediately left. And so, I mean, was it worth it? You fought over a seat, and now neither one of you got it? I mean, of course it doesn't make sense. This is Florida stories, but the video's brutal. Don't go watch it. Just take my word for it. It's exactly what you think it is. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is it?
For our next Florida story, we are going to go to Sarasota. And in this one, I don't know, we might just have to skip this one. Let me read you the headline, and then we can all decide together if you want to hear the rest of this story. The headline says, quite simply, Sarasota CNA accused of molesting assisted living residents at multiple facilities, police looking for more victims. You want to do that one, or you want to skip it? You want to skip it? Okay, we'll skip that one. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
What is it?
Florida man steals a Captain Morgan statue. And this is exactly what it sounds like, too. And in this video, yeah, you're missing the why. Why does this guy steal a Captain Morgan statue? And like, what are you talking about, a Captain Morgan statue? Like a figurine? No, you should see this thing, man. This thing fills up the entire bed of his pickup truck. He's got a black pickup, and he knocks this, he backs it up to this big statue of Captain Morgan that looks like it's sitting outside of a gas station or a bar or something. I can't tell. And he dumps it over into the back of his truck, and it fills up the whole thing. Like, he can't even shut the tailgate. And it's a beautiful statue. It's majestic. And so, look, I'm not saying I understand why he stole it, but I can tell you that I wish I had one of these. I'd be ecstatic to have one of these Captain Morgan statues. This is a glorious piece of art. I'm a big fan of Captain Morgan to begin with. I'm just a big fan of pirates all around. And, what do you do with this? Do you keep it? Is there a black market for Captain Morgan? Cause, you would think that's not likely, but I don't know. I think I'd be dumb enough to buy that if it was on the, some guy came up and was like, hey dude, you want a Captain Morgan statue? I wouldn't care. I'd be like, don't tell me if it's hot or not. My answer is yes. What's your price? I think that's where I would be. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Florida Stories is produced by Spring Rock. Follow me on X at Florida Stories J.
I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Lesbians in space, sterling every damn night.
A So whatever gets you in the door, you know what I'm saying? Always be closing, lesbians. Just get in the door.
All right, good evening, Walter M. Sterling. And you and I keep track of the people who do good things for us, don't we? I can't begin to tell you how grateful I am for the MyPillow company, because it was the first company to recognize, respect, and support Sterling every damn night. The MyPillow company knew that you and I, Midnight Misfits, were perfect for a late night product. That's what this is, a late night product. And now they've created specials for us. I'm going to give you the correct phone number. Oh gosh, I may have given you the wrong phone number in the past. I'm going to give you the correct phone number in just a second, but I want to tell you why to call. You ready? MyPillow is offering the classic collection of pillows for wholesale prices. Ready? $17.98 for a standard MyPillow. You've always wanted to try it, and now there's no excuse. $17.98 for a standard MyPillow. But it gets even better. For a very short time, they're going to offer their entire classic collection for wholesale prices. So get the queen-size MyPillow for $22.98. Upgrade to a king, $24.98. Get the body pillows for $29.98. The multi-use MyPillows for what? $10. $9.98. Please go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code Walter. Or call, here's the real number, 800-844-0876. There's a Midnight Misfit expert at 800-844-0876. Say, Walter, 800-844-0876. Take advantage of the wholesale pricing and receive $100 in free digital gifts when your order is $75 or more. That's right. Get the standard MyPillow for only $17.98. Please go to MyPillow.com or call 800-844-0876. Use the promo code Walter and say thanks to them for me. Say thanks for being a supporter of Midnight Misfits, you and me, on the Great Shift, Sterling, every damn night. Standard MyPillow, $17.98. Call 800-844-0876.
Message and data rates may apply, or consult a doctor prior to use.
Wow, you look amazing. What have you been doing?
I'm sure you've heard of Ozempic, Wegovy, and the other GLP-1 medications, right? Well, I found this great company called Zelty. If you qualify, their providers can prescribe medications like Ozempic and Wegovy and other GLP-1 medications that are 80 to 90% less expensive, all 100% online.
I can get GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% less and do it all online? No doctor's office or pharmacy?
Yes, Zelty can provide semaglutide or tirzepatide, the active ingredients in Ozempic and other expensive GLP-1s. But for 80 to 90% less and shipped directly to your door.
How do I get started with Zelthy?
Call #250 with the word care to get started today with Zelthy. Get the same active ingredients in Wegovy or Ozempic, but for 80 to 90% less and 100% online. Don't wait. Call #250 with the word care right now for a link to your exclusive offer. Call #250 with the word care. That's #250 with the word care. #250 and care.
Dig into gold and silver mining equity returns with the Sprott Active Gold and Silver Miners ETF, GBUG. Visit SprottETFs.com or call 1-888-622-1813 for disclosure and prospectus information containing investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses, which should be read carefully. Alps Distributors, Inc. is the distributor for the Sprott ETFs.
De La Cruz does it again!
Explosive bat, premier glove, dynamic arm, electric speed. In baseball, that's a five-tool player. That's Ellie De La Cruz. Compassionate doctors and nurses, personalized care, innovation and cutting-edge technology. That's a CMS five-star hospital. That's St. Elizabeth Healthcare. Elite-level talent, elite-level healthcare. It's nice to have them both right here.
Home services can sound a lot like... But what people don't hear is...
You have 47 new voicemails.
I don't think I can come in today.
And whatever paperwork till you fall asleep sounds like. Close enough. Jobber helps home service pros organize, automate, and grow their businesses. So you can do a lot more. Make more. And do less. Start your free trial today at jobber.com.
Spelling every night. Study books, lusty books, get cozy with Thea Landon.
Find smutty book author Thea Landon. Let me tell you a late night story for Midnight Misfits. Here's an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars. Despite the darkness, Solyndra's round eyes glittered in the wan moonbeams. Greet me like I'm any other woman who happened to cross your path and attracted your attention. Meg let out a nervous chuckle, ruffling the hair at the side of her head. Careful there. You might not know what you're getting yourself into. Is that a warning or a promise? She swallowed back a groan as Solyndra's coy remarks threatened to tear away all her reasons for resisting. Still, the doubts lingering at the back of her mind made her hesitate. I have to ask, she said. And if you tell any of the others, Ronan especially, about this rare, vulnerable moment of mine, I don't know what I'll do, but I'll come up with some sort of retribution soon enough. She tilted her head forward, her loose waves settling around her face in a flawless frame. I'm listening. Meg inhaled a deep breath, then let it out. Why me? She finally said. With everyone you've ever come across, from the staff at the castle to visitors from far-off lands, why are you interested in an insignificant peasant from a village that doesn't even have a name? Solyndra crossed her arms in mock irritation. I thought we'd been over this. From the moment we met, you were friendly and kind to me, even before you knew my true identity. You invited me, a stranger, to join you, even giving me your sister's boots to make sure I'd be comfortable. She kicked at a tree root. It's not like anyone else was using them at the moment, she mumbled. Then, no matter what's happened since, you always know exactly what to do or say. I wish I could be half as smart and perceptive as you. And I still think you're crazy for saying so. Her gaze remained glued to the ground, her next words barely audible in the thick forest. I'm really not as special as you make me out to be. What else do I need to do to convince you? Dark red lips curved down into an alluring pout. Fine, I'll keep going then. I like the way your hair always looks so wild, like you've spent the whole day running through the wind on another adventure. I'm fascinated by how the color of your eyes shifts with the light, from calm seas to stormy skies. And whenever I see your smile, not like when you're fooling around with your friends, but the real one, I can't help but feel happy too. Okay, enough. Fire burned in Meg's cheeks, and she hoped the shadows would help camouflage it. You're making me all flustered. Oh? Solyndra tapped her chin, pretending to study her. I didn't think anything ever flustered you, Meg. How interesting. She tried to laugh, though it came out as more of a snort. So, putting aside all the flattery, where does this leave us? Well... Leaning against the tree, she tossed her hair back, letting the starlight illuminate her face. Based on our conversation last night, and everything since, I think you owe me a kiss. Meg's heart skipped a beat, but before she could respond, Solyndra straightened, her air of self-assurance replaced by a perplexed expression. Is this how these things are supposed to go? She whispered. The words sounded pretty good in my head, but now I'm not so sure. She couldn't stop the corners of her mouth from turning up in what she assumed was one of the aforementioned genuine smiles. It was perfect. Stepping forward, she closed the gap between them. As Solyndra gazed at her with her striking green eyes, she felt an obligation to make this kiss memorable. Reaching up, Meg caressed the side of her face, her thumb tracing the contour of her cheekbone. With gentle pressure, she tilted her chin upward and brought her mouth to hers, letting it hover in place for a brief yet endless moment before coming in contact with her. Soft lips welcomed her, parting when she snaked her tongue forward. The taste of her made Meg's knees tremble, and she sought to explore her mouth in detail. With every advance, Solyndra's tongue engaged her with a playful swirl, eager to probe into her in return. Meg buried her fingers in her silky hair, holding her tight. Her other hand meandered lower to rest at her waist, and her imagination went into overdrive, fantasizing about what lay beneath her heavy layers of clothing. Solyndra enhanced the vivid images by gripping her shoulders and pulling her closer. With a sturdy tree behind her, their bodies flattened together, and Meg had to resist the temptation to tear her cloak off of her. She reminded herself to be patient, however, and settled for losing herself to their blazing kiss. Unfortunately, I think I need to stop here for tonight, but you know you can always have more. That was an excerpt from my book, A Flame Among the Stars, which is available at Amazon in paperback and on Kindle Unlimited. I'm smutty book author Thea Landon for Sterling Every Damn Night.
Here's a story about Sydney Sweeney, who looked hot in an ad for some jeans. But then the usual suspects started complaining about what the ad actually means. They said it promotes white supremacy because Sydney was talking about her DNA. But all the normal people wish these pink-haired freaks would just all go away. Now American Eagle stock is soaring and Dunkin' Donuts.
Email waltermsterling@gmail.com. I answer every email. I've got a pretty good website, waltersterlingshow.com, waltersterlingshow.com. And the greatest gift that you and I can receive is a request for help.
Now the credit roll for Sterling Every Damn Night, featuring the extreme talent of Dave Scott, Thea Landon, Charles Van Zandt, Peter Thiel, Dan and Becky Gaffney, Dave Iger, Sean Serino, Father James Drucker, Jill Brooke, Steve and Selena, Alexander Castiles, David Gargaroff, Gene Stalker, Vic Ferrari, starring Walter Sterling, and I'm your announcer, James Copeland, a KWMDS production.